February 9th, 2014, Sunday afternoon service. Today we are going to look at Psalm 45. To the chief musician set to the lilies, a contemplation of the sons of Korah, a song of love. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. This psalm is written to praise the King, but this is a prophetic song for our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not just me saying, but the verse 6 and 7 of this psalm are also used in the New Testament to describe Jesus' majesty. Let's look at the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. But to the Son he says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. This is from the Psalm 45, verse 6 and 7. Not only the Psalms, but there are many references of Jesus in the Old Testament. The Bible is not a simple book. It has many meanings hidden in it. Unlike some people who can only do one thing at one time, like myself, this book has many layers and speaking many things just from one verse. So it can be talking about one incident, but it can be a prophetic prophecy about Jesus' life. And I do think this Psalm 45, this is about Jesus. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. This is also about the king, but also about Jesus. And the sword also means the word of God. Verse 4 and 5. And in your majesty, ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The people fall under you. It says in the Japanese translation that arrows are sharp, but in the King James Version, it says that your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. Sharp arrow and sword are offensive weapons and are the metaphor of the word of God. And it is saying the word of God will penetrate the heart of the enemies. The Bible also says the word of God is a two-edged sword, so it can kill enemies, but if it's swung in the wrong direction, it can kill yourself too. And although it does not say in Japanese Bible, the English one clearly says that it penetrates the heart of the king's enemies, which is to kill the enemies. So if we are to rebel against God, the word of God, which was supposed to be a blessing to us, will turn into a curse that kills people. I know people who rebelled against the word, and the word turned into a curse, like the one who is preaching about the second chance for those who willfully sin as a Christian. Basically, he's saying that none of the Christians will perish, and we would all make it to the heaven. I think if that is his understanding of the Bible, his heart must be pierced by the sword. They may be smarter than me, more educated than me, and they can write better and more interesting things than me, but they somehow cannot understand the Bible as it is written, and therefore choking the lives out of them by the word they speak. I think it is because they have become the enemy of God. As the Bible says, the people fall under you. So when one becomes the enemy of God, they cannot see clearly and you start believing in the wrong doctrine. Like I used to be a member of this church, which was a part of a brethren group, and they do not believe in having a pastor leading the church because they think that all the brothers are equal. And are they blessed as a church? I didn't think so. I think they chain themselves to the false doctrine, and I think this is an example of having their own heart pierced with the sword. I sent one of the people our newsletters, enclosing my personal greetings, and he replied back to me saying that he would never want to receive it, nor read our newsletters. So in the Japanese translation, it does not say so, but King James Version clearly says the Word of God has a power to pierce your heart. So when we say the Word of God, we all think that this is all something good, nice, and wonderful, but we need to understand the weight of it, since it can also deal with life and death, and it can also take life if used wrongly. And verse 6 and 7, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. This is about their king, but it's also about King Jesus. Geographically, we live in the nation of Japan, but spiritually, we live in the kingdom of God. People of God used to live in God's kingdom, but they began to ask for a king over them in the time of the prophet Samuel. And God was angered by their demand, and so was Samuel. And in the time when Jesus was crucified, his charge was written to be that Jesus was the king of the Jews. That means that they killed a king. Tribe of Judah did that in the Old Testament time, and they did that again in the New Testament time. It says, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. A scepter of righteousness is very straight and not twisted or bending. So we have to be very careful with any fables, any doctrines that are not straight out of the Bible, and they're all twisted scepters. But the scepter Jesus is holding is a straight one, and he's our only teacher. And after I started this church, what the Lord has been telling me is that I should just speak straight out of the Bible, like the wise bride and foolish ones. So half the Christian can be with Jesus, but the other half would be left out, denied by him. Very simple and straight out of the Bible. The pastor of the church I used to go before teaches people that all the Christian will be lifted up in the great tribulation. He would even say things like, if a Christian gets tempted and breaks into his neighbor's house and steals money, in the middle of his stealing, the end time comes, and he would still be saved and lifted up to be with Jesus. I think this is utterly wrong. Even once righteous, if you willfully sin, you again become a sinner. I think this is so clear, but if you have a twisted scepter, you cannot even see something so clear and simple. There is also a story of wheat and tare. Wheat would be gathered and tare would be burned. So if you keep learning the Word of God as it is written, you will draw closer to the truth. The Lord does not say anything difficult or too complicated for us to understand. From verse 8, as your garments are scented with myrrh and aloe and cassia, out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad, king's daughters are among your honorable women. At your right hand stands the queen in old from Ophir. Listen, O daughter. Consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also in your father's house. So the king will greatly desire your beauty, because he is your Lord. Worship him. This is about Bride of Christ, which is his church. And it tells us, forget your own people in your father's house. This phrase appears in the Bible several times. God told Abraham to go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. God also told Adam to leave his father's house to be with Eve. Bible repeatedly tell people to leave your father's house, which is where you came from, because oftentimes what you know from our upbringing and what we are taught are different from God's teaching. But Abraham's purpose was fulfilled only after he followed God's order. So when I was in high school, I used to go to this church, which was pastored by a man who was also used to be a high school teacher. So he knew how to talk to young people, and he had many students in the congregation. He prayed a lot, and he told me many things. I loved him and respected him very much. But after staying there for several years, when I was 25 or so, I was led by God to leave this house that I was nurtured spiritually. I had completely depended on the pastor's preaching, and I had not studied much. I had not read Bible much, but only after I left the house, I started to study on my own and to learn how to trust and depend on this invisible God. I'm not saying that we should all leave our church. I'm just saying that this is also a part of our walk with God. It could be the house of our biological parents, or this could be the church you used to be a part of. As for me, my real learning started when I left the first church. And after so many years, one day, I decided to mail a newsletter to a few people I still know from this very first church. And they both told me that they would not want to receive it anymore. The pastor of the church did not say anything to me, though. I saw a big difference in our view. And what is important to me now? They did not understand the message at all. So we have grown apart. But my growing up would not have been possible if I stayed there. And oftentimes, when we leave the old familiar place, even prompted by God, it is often painful. And right after you leave, you don't even know where you're going, and you don't know whether it is a blessing or it is a curse. But you have to choose to rely on Him. From verse 12, "And the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. With gladness and rejoicing they shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Instead of your father shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth." If Jesus is the king, the sons here will be the ones who follow Jesus. So they will take a place for your natural fathers. In other words, sons and daughters who are submitted to Christ will become the true servants of God, and will take the place once held by your fathers and forefathers. Throughout the Bible, those who pursue the works of God were not those who was appointed in a logical manner. After Moses and Aaron, it was not the lawyers and scribes who continued the work. Same thing with Jesus. It was not the Pharisee, whom they thought was most holy and righteous, but it was Jesus' disciples, who were like his own sons, to continue the work of Jesus, not the experts of the law. So when you think about Japan, I don't think it is the pastors of the large churches or the mainstream churches which will continue the true work of the Lord, but I think the least likely people, like Peter and Paul, would do the work, the true work for Jesus. And when I started this church, I was always wondering about Jesus' parable, as it says in Mark chapter 4. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it, but without a parable, he did not speak to them. And I understood that the Bible is written in a parable about everything. So I tried to understand the meaning behind every verse. Other people did not understand me, but it was the right thing. As I continued to seek the parable in the book, I was able to comprehend the revelation in the book of Daniel. It talks about the great tribulation, saying, "Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days." Initially, I did not understand why, if you're on the housetop, you could not go down. Is it because Antichrist isn't downstairs and they could not come upstairs like the flood water? I didn't understand it before. But when you read into it and see it as a parable, you will understand the meaning of it. And those who are true sons and daughters of Christ, and those who do the real works of the Lord, they will bring the current Christian world upside down, like Peter and Paul. Verse 17, I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever. This is a prophetic verse about Jesus Christ. His name is remembered even after 2,000 years later, and his name is praised forever and ever. As Jesus said, the scripture speaks about him. It does indeed speak about him way before his time. So try not to read with academic mind, but read it with your spiritual eyes opened.